IFM 101.9 megahertz of life. Joining us on the line from Israel, Rolene Marks. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, sir. Well, I can't comment about beers, but I can talk about very, very controversial wines.
Yes.
And that was Mike Pompeo's visit to the Psagot Vineyard yesterday.
I mean, that's incredible. I didn't realize that this is the first visit by a person in his position to these areas.
Well, absolutely. I mean, this is really his swan song as we change over administrations. And yesterday he made the incredible announcement that the U.S. State Department will now be recognizing BDS as anti-Semitic. This is the global movement, and they will start acting with immediate effects to deal with it. And America's not the first country to do this. They follow Germany and Austria, who know a thing or two about anti-Semitism. But what was quite incredible and controversial was his announcement that goods in certain parts of the West Bank will now be labeled made in Israel.
Which is also incredible, that this is such a big shift, where we've gone from this whole labeling in a negative versus labeling just made in Israel, in other words, accepting that this is unequivocally part of Israel. Rolene, there still seems to be a little bit of an echo. Is something, can you juggle around with something?
It's a Friday morning, which means that, you know, my brain is fried, so there is a slight bit of an echo. It was because we were crossing between two lines.
Oh, I
see. It should be fine now.
Yes, it seems to be. So that's perfect. Thank you. So it really is a big shift, both in the recognition of the fact that that these areas are now part of Israel, but also around BDS. Are these stories linked?
I think they are linked. I think we have to look at the issue around the labeling, and it's caused a lot of anger and a lot of controversy because the EU made that decision last year, that very, very controversial decision that any goods over the green line would be labeled goods made in occupied territories. And again, it was felt that, you know, Jews were being singled out and labeled in Europe again. It harkened back to a very, very difficult moment in our history. And I know that Psagot, this particular vineyard, was part of a legal case against the EU, you know, to call them out on this labeling. And I think it was very, very symbolic yesterday that Pompeo visited this vineyard, and not only did he visit, I mean, he had a wine named after him, Howard. I mean, what's a girl got to do to get a wine named after her?
Absolutely.
But I mean, I whine a lot, but come on, really. But this was very, very, very symbolic to make the statement there. And of course, it's the last 70 days of the Trump administration. So anything they're going to want to push through, they're going to do it now. I mean, we had the reports earlier this week that Trump wanted to strike targets in Iran, and he was quickly shot down by his top advisor, saying, you know, that's irresponsible. It will lead to war on a larger scale. But also quite incredible is the fact that not only was Mike Pompeo here, but he was also joined this week by the Bahraini foreign minister. And we've seen over the last couple of months an incredible warmth coming from the Emiratis. Are we starting to see it, that coming from the Bahrainis as well? In fact, there's a Bahraini journalist who went on air and said, "We are all Zionists. We all, recognize Israel." Which, I mean, did you ever think you would hear that language coming from the Arab world?
It's really absolutely incredible, and such powerful images that that we saw with the Bahraini foreign minister in Israel. Was there anything, was this really just an exploratory visit, or was there anything spoken about that that was detailed and we could look at?
Well, the incredible announcements came in that there would be a mutual opening of embassies, hopefully by the end of the year. I mean, it doesn't leave them much time. So
no.
Those who deal with real estate in really zooty, you know, market embassy type properties, you better get moving. But, you know, we had this incredible press conference between the Bahraini, Foreign Minister Abdul Latif Al-Azayan and our Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, who everybody really is giving, of cardboard for the incredible way that he is representing Israel as our top diplomat. And, you know, they announced that there will be mutual embassies, our open in Manama, which is the capital of Bahrain. Bahrain being very careful on their wording, just saying that they're going to be opening in one in Israel. And I know that there are some people saying it should be Jerusalem, but I think we've also got to understand the semantics and the sensitivities around this. So that was incredible. And of course, discussing the points of the Abraham Accords as it pertains to Israel and Bahrain. Also very significant. Significantly, President Rivlin extending an invitation and being invited to visit Bahrain as well. That's, you know, the highest level of acceptance of mutual cooperation, and then to start the cooperation. And I can tell you that it's happening between Israel and the Emiratis in absolute warp speed. And I'm sure we're going to see this with Bahrain as well. But also giving us a little glimmer of hope was the Palestinians. Yes, there were a lot of protests yesterday to Pompeo's visit to the vineyard. This was expected, but also the Palestinians very quietly returning their ambassadors to Bahrain and to the UAE. I don't know if it's because we are seeing a change of administrations coming in, and they're going to want to show that they have some kind of sincerity or willingness to come to the negotiating table. I don't know if they are looking at the change in sentiment in the Arab world and saying, okay, well, maybe we need to start taking these very tentative steps towards some kind of a peace. But this week, the announcement was made that they will renew ties from where we left off, which means that we will renew security cooperation, and also a very tacit announcement that they will review some of the salaries that they pay to terrorists that are in jail.
But hopefully review downwards, not upwards. I mean, they're not adjusting them for inflation.
Exactly. Well, this is what we're hoping, is that nobody's getting a pay rise because of rising inflation, but that they're going to start cutting that. You know, they want to be taken seriously. And if that wasn't enough, Howard, we're sending another person into space.
I saw that. Yeah, wow. One of our listeners said, and he's a very good-looking bloke as well, but it turns out for our listeners...
This was my thought.
Mm-hmm.
This was my thought. I mean, if you're going to have the right stuff, you've got to have the right stuff. But, you know, trying to be a very responsible, balanced analyst, you know, I don't want to bring them in. But now that the subject, I have to do... to give my two cents worth. But it is very exciting, you know, all things aside, and it's self-funded. So it's an extraordinary story. This is a former fighter pilot, Eitan Stibe. He will be joining a mission to the International Space Station at the end of 2021. And of course, this is very poignant for Israelis because, you know, we remember and we honor what happened with Ilan Ramon, the first astronaut that joined the NASA astronauts aboard the Columbia spacecraft, and just how proud we were of his incredible foray into space. We followed his every move. It gave rise to a generation of kids here, you know, who got into space exploration. We see this incredible trajectory that Israel is making as far as space exploration, and then that horrendous tragedy on re-entering the Earth's atmosphere when the Columbia spacecraft broke up. And also very sad for Israelis was loss of his wife last year to cancer, and a few years before that, the loss of his son during a training exercise.
It was really a tragic story, the family. It you know, when I read about it, it left me with such a horrible feeling that just how much tragedy that they had experienced as a family.
Absolutely. So we are hoping, and you know, we really echo President Rivlin. I mean, he really gets the best jobs, Howard. he really does. When he, but I think he's earned it. When he announced it this week, when he said, you know, that we will be sending a second astronaut, and he said, you know, wave to us from the skies, which was a really beautiful sentiment. And he said, you know, we send you not just with our great pride and the pride that you will be wearing the flag of Israel, which is really all of our, you know, dreams, Israelis and Jews around the world to see, you know, one of our own go into space. I mean, I know there's some people that we would like to send into space and kind of leave them there, but that's a whole other mission. We've got a list. Eitan, are you paying attention? But very, very proud that we will be sending somebody else, self-funded. And Tom Cruise might be joining him.
See, I thought he was just an actor, and there we found out he's actually a real astronaut.
There we go. There we go. Well, he played one, I'm sure, somewhere, so
exactly.
There we go.
Exactly right.
I'm not a doctor, I just play one on TV.
100%. And, of course, Iran was also quite extensively in the news this week.
Yes, it was. So let's take a look at what has transpired, because again, we're hearing unbelievable language coming from the Arab world. You know, this week, the IDF struck targets along the border with Syria because there were IEDs placed on our side of the border by Iran's Quds forces. So we struck targets there and struck targets within the Syrian armed forces. But as we change over administration, so a lot of the conjecture is around what is the Biden administration going to do with regards to the nuke deal with Iran. And we've heard quite vociferously from the Saudis, the Bahrainis, and now Israel as well. The Saudi prince warning Biden, you know, please take cognizance that the Middle East has changed. You know, please take a listen to your allies in the Middle East before you do anything. The Bahrainis as well. I mean, they're really becoming quite a force here, or at least vocally, the Bahrainis saying, you know, we really, really caution you and warn you against getting into any kind of deal with the Iranians. The Iranians enriching more uranium this week. I mean, it's all confusing to say how would Iranians, uranium, it's, you know, it's a bit of a tongue twister for a Friday morning. And very notable coming from Israel is the announcement that this time we are not going to be left out of the process. We are very much working towards our offensive against an Iranian deal, and that, you know, we don't want the deal to be the same as the last time, and we very, very much want to be part of the process. And I think it's also important to look at the different personalities. You know, it's no great secret that there was a bit of a personality clash between Prime Minister Netanyahu and President Obama. Obama's written it in his new book. But the relationship between President-elect Biden and Netanyahu is a much warmer, a much more historic relationship than the former.
And yeah, let's hope that that continues. It is 8 o'clock. Rolene Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a wonderful weekend. And we'll, of course, chat to you next.